If you'd open your Bibles with me to the book of Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we begin a series on dealing with difficult problems. And the first sermon in that series was a sermon on anger. But today we're going to deal with the topic of worry. And Lord willing, we'll be dealing with that this morning and next Lord's Day morning. Because it is, a problem that many of us either deal with now, have dealt with, or will deal with. So, we begin then our reading in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, verse 34. But as we come to God's Word, let us first come to Him in prayer, asking His blessing upon the reading and preaching of His Word. Let us pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank You that You have given us Your Word. And we thank You that You have given us, by Your Spirit, minds that can understand Your Word and hearts that desire to apply it to our lives. And so we ask that as we hear Your Word today, that You would work in us, that we would understand what it teaches, that we would know how we are to apply it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So then we'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Hear now the word of God. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Now, I am not ashamed to admit that I have seen the movie The Lion King many times. Watched it with probably all of my children, so much so that I can probably remember more of it than I'd like or care to admit. But if you have seen it, the lion Simba is kicked out. He has to leave his house, and he runs into two individuals. He runs into a meerkat named Timon, and he runs into a warthog named Pumbaa. And he runs into them, and they teach him something, don't they? They teach him this great mantra, this great saying, Hakuna Matata. He says, well, what does it mean, Hakuna Matata? It means no worries. No worries. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing it for the rest of your days. Okay. You know, you'll thank me for that later. But it means no worries. Now, how nice would it be to be able to say two words and immediately rid ourselves of all of our worry? But it doesn't work like that, does it? That's good for cartoons, but we live in the real world, and we worry. We're tempted to worry. Now, some of you are more prone to worry than others. God creates all of us differently, and He gives us certain temperaments. So I think there are those who probably worry or tempted to worry more than others. Now, what I'm not going to talk about this morning when we say worry are legitimate fears. There are legitimate fears. If I'm walking along and a snake crawls out, I'm not going to say Hakuna Matata and just keep walking by this snake. No, I'm going to deal with it. I may say, well, is this a poisonous snake? I need to move away from this. If a car is barreling down the road, I'm rightly going to fear and move out of the way. We're not talking about legitimate fears here. We're also not talking about practical concern for the future. It's right to plan for the future. And we're also not talking about maybe a physical manifestation. There are those who, for whatever reason, can have a physical manifestation of an anxiety, or we might call it a panic attack, that doesn't seem to come from anywhere. Now, certainly, worry can increase that, but it may just happen. It may be a physical or a physiological response. We're not talking about that. But what we are talking about is the worry that is expressed in these verses. Now, five times the word worry is used, and twice it is in a command, do not worry. Now, the Greek word that's translated worry here, and in other versions of the Bible, other English versions, it may be do not be anxious. It's a word that means do not be overly concerned about these things. Or you might say do not become preoccupied with these things. As we come to verses 19 through 34, it is the Lord Jesus who is speaking to his disciples, and he's speaking in what is called the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7. And this is right in the middle of that sermon. And in chapter 6, he's already dealt with in verses 1 through 18 those who would practice hypocritically their religion. So religious hypocrites. Those who would give before men to be seen by men. Those who would pray before men to be seen by men. Those who would fast before men to be seen by men. And he says, you know what? They have their reward. But now in verse 19, he looks to the other side of the coin. Instead of looking at those who are religious hypocrites, he looks at those who are worldly minded, those who store up treasure on earth and worry about the things of the earth. He says, you know what? They're going to miss their reward as well. Because the reward is going to be tied to something that is on the earth. Now, these are the things, Jesus says, that unbelievers seek. Verse 32, all these things the Gentiles seek. Now, the Gentiles is a word for the nations, but it is used in Scripture to talk about those who are outside the kingdom of God. Those who are outside of saving faith seek all of these things, but believers are not to seek those things. Not to be preoccupied with them, not to worry about them. But we often fall into that trap, don't we? We worry. We do these things. And so this morning I want to look at the reason, really the reason why we worry. And next week, next Lord's Day morning, we'll look at the response to worry in more detail. But as we come to this passage and we think about worry, I want you to see that we worry because we are preoccupied with things that are outside of our control. We worry because we are preoccupied with things that are outside of our control. And there are three things here that we can be preoccupied with. Things we cannot keep, things we cannot change, and things we cannot know. And the first thing that I want to look at is the fact that we worry because we're preoccupied with things we cannot keep. Life is transient. Jesus says in verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. I live fairly close to here, and whenever I'm home, I drive around and I look at different places. I remember how they were years ago, and now I see buildings that are run down. So if you really want to get a picture of this, go to somewhere that you're familiar with, that you haven't been in a while, and look around. And you're going to see the effect of time. Now, I've not gotten any older, so I don't know what's going on with all of those buildings. Well, that's not true, is it? No. We look in the mirror, we see the effects of time. It's all around us, right? So We become preoccupied with things we cannot keep, things of the earth. And we're preoccupied with them and worry about them because our heart is misdirected. Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Why? Because we cannot keep them. No matter how hard we try, we will not be able to keep them. What does he say will happen to them? Moth and rust will destroy them. Now, moths generally destroy clothing. There are two things that Jesus focuses on here, clothing and food. And moths can eat clothing. But what about rust? Now, the word that's translated rust here can also, and in its basic sense, means something that devours. And so I think in the context here, it could also then point to rodents, vermin, who would devour food. So clothing is going to fade away, food is going to be devoured, all of these things are going to go. We cannot keep them. And thieves, even if the rats don't get them, even if the moths don't get them, thieves can break in and steal. The Greek word translated break in here is literally dig. Dig through. Now, if you know anything about houses, in that time they were made of clay. So thieves would literally dig through the walls and steal things. That would happen. Today they might break a window. But these things are not safe. And Jesus says, do not prioritize what you cannot keep. But instead, verse 20, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So when we worry, we have a misdirected heart. We direct it to the things of the earth, when we ought to be directing it to the things of heaven, the things that will last. But Jesus goes on to say, when your heart is misdirected, it becomes divided. He gives two illustrations, one of the eye and one of two masters. Verse 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Now we see by receiving light and we can see the world around us. The word translated good here means single, singularly focused. If you are focused and your eye is good and you can see, you're going to know where to go. But if your eye is bad, you're not going to see clearly. You're going to be divided. And he brings that out even more clearly when he speaks about serving two masters in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is a word that can mean money, but it also means any earthly treasure, any possession. You cannot serve both. You have to make a choice. Think of it like this. If you were standing on the ground and the ground between your legs started to open up and spread apart, you couldn't stand there for very long. You're going to have to jump to one side or the other. That's what Jesus is saying. You need to make a choice. Are you going to serve yourself? Are you going to serve the things of this world? Or are you going to serve God? That's the choice. But it's really foolish to serve the things of this world. It's almost as if you would invest in a company that you know tomorrow is going to burn down and go out of business. No one would be foolish enough to put their money in that company. And yet that's what we do all the time. But listen to the words of Psalm 39. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. That's our life. That's what we cannot keep. And Jesus gives two illustrations. He begins in verse 25, the first mention of worry. He says, therefore I say to you, and he gives this command, do not worry. Do not worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Why? Because I will provide. He gives an illustration of the birds. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. They don't go plant fields. They don't go bring things into barns. And yet every day when that mother bird goes out, they find a worm. because God provides. He says that he clothes the lilies of the field in even greater splendor than Solomon. Now, Solomon was that great king of Israel who was extremely rich. He must have had thousands of outfits. And yet, God, in nature, paints a more glorious picture. And if God cares for the birds, if God cares for the flowers, which are burned up tomorrow, how much more will he care for you, or made in his image? That's the message that Jesus is bringing. And what are some examples of things that we tend to hold on to that we cannot keep? Now, certainly it's easy to think about money and financial resources. There are many other things. What about our human relationships? Now, that can be a great draw. Now, yes, those who are in Christ will be with each other forever. But it doesn't mean that you're not going to depart from the earth before another person. So if your hope is fixed upon that human relationship, that's going to be a problem. Even marriage lasts till death do us part. You can't place your hope there. What about positions? Your job, your title. People lose jobs all the time. What about your health? We're not guaranteed that. So to put our hope, to put our confidence in things that we cannot keep will absolutely lead to worry. And parents, one of the things that you can do is to put your care and your concern into your children. It's not a bad thing to care for your children. But if your focus is on the wrong priorities, it's going to lead to a problem. It's far better to leave your children with a godly example than it is to leave them with a lot of money. You leave them with treasure in heaven. It's far better to know and to make sure that your children are in Christ than to make sure that they're in college. Yes, you should do one, but don't prioritize it over the other. And so, one of the reasons that we worry is that we are preoccupied with things we cannot keep. Our heart is divided. It is set upon the things of the earth, which are fading and fleeting. But the second reason is that we are preoccupied with things we cannot change. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 27. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? And in the ESV, this is translated, which of you, by worrying, can add 1 hour to his life? It can be taken in either way, but the point is the same. We grow, but children, if you grow and you look at yourself last year and you've grown taller, and I ask you, well, how much worrying did you do about that to make yourself grow? You're going to say, well, I didn't. No, because you grew. What about your life? You cannot add not even an hour, but not even a single minute by worrying about anything. Now, a cubit here is about 18 inches, so about the tip of your fingers to your elbow. You cannot add that to your height by worrying. You can't add a single hour to your life. One commentator put it this way, a man may worry himself to death, but he cannot worry himself into a longer life. I think that's true. A man may worry himself into death, but he cannot worry himself into a longer life. So what Jesus is saying here is it's a waste of time. It's a waste of your resources to worry about things you cannot possibly hope to change. I mean, if we were to calculate the time spent worrying about things that we cannot change and add it up and say, man, what could I have done with all of that extra time in my life? I don't even want to see what that time would amount to for one person, much less all the people. It's a lot of time wasted. And it's a waste of your mental energy to be churning these things about that you can do nothing to change. So we're preoccupied with what we cannot keep. We're preoccupied then, Jesus says, with what we cannot change. And finally, we're preoccupied with what we cannot know. Now, how many of you are worried right now that you're going to die last week? How many of you are worried that you're going to die last week? Weird way to put the question, right? But nobody's worried about that because you're alive. We don't worry about the past, do we? It's already happened. All right, so how many of you are worried that you're not going to make it to church today? You're not worried about that either. Why? That's the present. You're here. So what do we worry about? We don't worry about the past. We don't worry about the present, but we're worried about the future, what we cannot know. Worry is always future-oriented. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 25. What does he say? What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will put on. Again, in verse 31, he repeats it. Do not worry. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? And then in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. Because Jesus knows that's where we're prone to place our concern, in something that hasn't even happened yet. Now, how many presents are there? There's one. But how many futures are there in our minds? There can be hundreds. We can create all sorts of futures, and how many futures can actually happen? One. So if you create 100 futures, you're dealing with 100 potential problems, 100 different scenarios, and 99 of them, maybe even all 100 of them, are never going to happen. That's not a good place to be in. Now, it's not wrong to plan for tomorrow, but it's wrong to be preoccupied, overly concerned with tomorrow. Think about it like this. Many of you have bills that you pay, monthly bills. Now, if you called your utility company and you said, I want you to send, I think I'm going to have this utility for 30 years. I want you to send all your bills to me for 30 years and I'm going to pay them today. Well, that would be foolish. It would probably crush a lot of us financially. But that's what we do when we worry about tomorrow. We say, I want all of the things, all the potentialities, and I want to deal with them today. It'll crush you emotionally. You have to be reminded of this truth, that tomorrow may never come. That's what James says in James chapter 4. It says, you who say you're going to go here and there tomorrow and you're going to be there for a year and you're going to do this and you're going to do that, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know when God is going to call you home. You don't know when Christ is going to return. You truly may be worrying about something that will never, ever happen. Period. But the second thing to remember, and this we see in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. You see, God knows what we need in the day that we need it. He gives us grace for the issues and the struggles of today, and He'll give us that same grace for the issues and the struggles of tomorrow. Look with me at Lamentation. Lamentations, after Jeremiah, in chapter 3. This is a great comfort. Chapter 3, in verse 22. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. They never fail. They're new every morning. He gives us exactly what we need, but He doesn't promise to give us what we need for tomorrow today. He says, wait for tomorrow. I will give you what you need. Don't worry about it. So worry about the future really is foolish. But worry about the future is a failure to trust in God. We see that. What does Jesus say? Matthew in chapter 16, at the end of the verse there, Matthew chapter 6, the end of verse 30. O you of little faith, why do you worry? O you of little faith. See, worry is a failure to trust God. Worry is saying, God, either you cannot take care of me, so you doubt Him, you doubt His ability, or worse, God, you won't take care of me. And that's doubting His love. Either you cannot, you are not able to take care of me, or you don't want to take care of me. And in doing so, we live like an unbeliever. We live like the Gentiles who seek after all of these things, because we forget that our Heavenly Father knows that we need all these things. Now, if anyone ought to worry, it should be an unbeliever. Think about it. Someone who is outside of Christ, their earthly life is a sad existence. Why? Because material things are all they have. That becomes their one consuming desire. And as we've seen, they cannot keep that. But not only then is their earthly life a sad existence, but their eternal life is non-existent. They don't have it, period. They have no hope for the future. They are outside of Christ. And what Jesus says here is those who are inside of Christ, you don't walk like them. It's the same thing that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4. You don't walk like the Gentiles. You put off those things and you put on the things. And one of those things that you put off is worry. Those who are in Christ no longer walk as the Gentiles walk, seeking these things because we know that our Heavenly Father will give them to us. So we think about this and we think about what Jesus teaches here, we really see why we worry, don't we? The reason we worry is ultimately because we are preoccupied with things that are outside of our control. Preoccupied with things that are outside of our control. We're preoccupied with the things of this world, which we cannot keep. We're preoccupied with the circumstances of this world, which we cannot change. And we're preoccupied with what might happen in this world, which we cannot possibly know. And it causes us to worry. It causes us to doubt. And what happens when you do worry? Well, you trade earthly treasure for heavenly treasure, and it's not a good trade. You forget that you cannot even add 1 hour to your life. And you refuse to trust that God, who as creator feeds the birds and clothes the lily, how much more is your Heavenly Father? He will feed and clothe you. So I challenge you to think about what you're worrying about. Are you worrying about anything that you cannot keep? And then the question I have for you is, why are you clinging to things that will not last? Are you worrying about things you cannot change? Well, why are you wasting your time doing that? Or are you worrying about things you cannot know, the future? Well, again, why create all of these alternate futures that many of them and most of them probably will not come to pass? Well, the good news is you don't need to be preoccupied with these things. You don't need to trust in the things of the world. You don't need to change your circumstances. You don't need to know your future. You see, the reality is that you simply need to become preoccupied with the right things. Now, we're gonna look at that next week, Lord willing. But know this, that the key is found in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So you see, instead of worrying about what you cannot keep, you look to the one who keeps you and promises to keep everything, including your soul. Instead of worrying about what you cannot change, you look to the one who does not change, the one who is faithful and will provide everything that you need. And instead of worrying about what you cannot know, you look to the one who knows, not only tomorrow, but He knows every day of your life. He's planned it all out. And so you can trust in Him. So we might say that if worry is being preoccupied with things that are outside of our control, then we must become preoccupied with the one who is in control of all things. Amen. Let us pray. Our God and Father in heaven, we praise You and thank You for Your word. And we glory in the hope that we have in Your goodness to us. We confess that we often worry. We are prone to cling to the things of this world, to desire to change those things that we cannot, and God, that we think about the many things that could possibly happen in the future. We ask that You would remind us by Your word to still our hearts, to look to You, to know that You are the God who is in control of all things, and that we do not have to worry about anything, for God, You will provide all that we need. Help us to be those who seek first Your kingdom and leave everything else up to You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.